It's time to bring into the studio the Chris Moyle Show. Alicia Dixon!
BBC Radio 1. I've missed it.
Hello.
How are you?
Guys, do your little impression, V.
Of you?
Yeah, go on.
How many man,
no.
You do the best one of anyone.
Have you ever thought, right, maybe later, God forbid, if anything goes wrong, you could be an auctioneer.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right.
You'd be brilliant at that.
I went to the Variety Club Awards recently and they had an auctioneer on the stage and I turned to my manager and I said he could be an MC.
Yeah.
Because they do it so fast that it was more impressive than any MC I've ever seen.
You know what? That's
and he was like, I'm coming up.
There's a show in that, right? Like a faking it
yes.
Show. You have to go and be trained to be a proper auctioneer.
Well, that's something for later on down the line, isn't it?
Nice.
That on Bravo.
But I've been doing that impression of Alicia ever since those hedonistic days of T4.
I know.
When you used to come on with the girls,
yeah.
We used to have such a laugh.
You was always brilliant at doing it.
And then we played the doorbell game. Instead of, we played a quiz with the Mystique girls.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the doorbell of the quiz was, enter!
Yes.
Right. Nice. It worked well.
It did work well.
Talking of the Mystique days, you've been watching Sabrina on...
I have, yeah.
On the jungle.
I have.
She did very well, I think.
She did. Yeah. She made me laugh. Me and my mum was like, her voice is getting louder and louder.
Yeah, we said that when she got evicted.
For some reason, and I'm sure that she wasn't shouting like that in the beginning, because by the time she came out, when she's talking to Ant and Dec and she's having a glass of champagne, they're saying, so how was your time in the jungle? She's going, it was great, Ant! And she's like, what?
Ooh. But she's genuinely excited, and you can tell she's loved it, and I think the over enthusiasm for it was just coming out. You know,
but this was awful for her.
Oh, he's dying.
Come this way.
That was when she got dunked in fish guts and maggots and cockroaches and all those kind of things. Awful.
Well,
awful. What was she like with creeper crawlies?
Well, I think she coped really well, I have to say, with that. I thought that, you know, she took it. She had fun with it, didn't she? She didn't kind of get all, like, paranoid about it. She screamed like anyone would.
Yeah.
But I thought she coped really, really well.
She did. And what about her relationship with Stuart?
I think that she probably finds him attractive, but that's it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know people like to read into things and put more into something that's actually there. And if they were attracted to each other, fair play.
But also what you've got to remember, Alicia, is that in that group, them two were...
The only singletons, weren't they?
But not only that, but...
And one's male and one's female.
Yeah.
So naturally... People are going to put, you know, one and one together and get five.
But also you could put one and one together with Stuart and Gina because, like on last night's show, they were saying there's a bit of a bromance going on
there. But it's funny also that you should say put one and one together and get five because that was how many kids they each wanted. So it would be one and one together making five.
Absolutely.
See?
Ooh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you just heard us speak to Chris in Uganda.
Oh, bless him, he can talk, can he?
Can't he just?
Oh, we love that about Chris.
Do you know what they did, though? I think they wired up his jaw to a generator.
Yeah.
And they just
it's fueling villages for miles.
Yeah, in Uganda.
Oh, I love the fact he's so into it and he really, really has got so much heart for it. I'm really gutted that I'm not there.
I was just going to say that. Are you a little bit upset, distressed that you can't go and see the results of all your hard work?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, Killy was in February. Feels like such a long time ago, but it was the most remarkable thing to have ever been a part of. And I feel really jealous that the guys got to go. I mean, they've come full circle. They get to see where the money's gone, and I think that puts it all into perspective. Mm. And I would have loved to have gone there and had that visual and just gone out there and seen, you know, what the hard work we did paid off, you know?
Well, when you were climbing it, though, because it was Gary's idea and it was generally, you know, Gary's, he put the whole thing together. Were you aware of the problems with malaria in Uganda? Did they give you a talk? Did they show you some videos? Did they explain what you were actually putting yourself through and why?
Yes, there was lots and lots of discussions, lots of meetings, lots of videos before we actually went. And then I was one of the fortunate ones that got to go out there a little bit earlier. And I got to go in all the villages and I spent some time with Mama Hosiana, who was a district nurse. And I met people that were suffering from malaria, people that had, you know, been given treatment by her. And so that really helped me when I did the climb, because I was able to go and see again, where the money would be going and who it would be helping. I think that's really important.
And I would imagine that, you know, when you were rolling downhill with your pants around your ankles, you thought, you know what, it's actually all right because I've seen what we're doing it for.
Yeah. You know? Completes the circle.
It does. It does. We've actually got a clip, Alicia, of Scott asking Chris and
if you know what I mean.
Is what happened? Like, listen to this.
Can I ask how Alicia is, please? Because there's reports that she fell off the mountain with her trousers around her ankles behind a bush.
Yeah. She had a wee and then went sort of tumble backwards, really.
Yeah.
But like
that
I said,
so not true.
Because you'd seen what
that's
happened.
So not true.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
You know,
though. That's
I know
brilliant.
That is a great story. That is a great story. But I have to say, it was a near death moment after I'd been. And do you know what? I should just stop talking.
No, go on.
No, you've done it now.
I went to the ladies
yes. behind a rock,
behind somewhere. And after I'd finished, and I tried to climb back up the hill, I took a tumble, and I grabbed hold of a bush. And I swear, I was holding onto this bush thinking I'm a goner. And no one was there to help. And I came back up traumatised. Like, genuinely, I had to sit down on the rock for about 10 minutes just to get my head together because it was actually a really scary moment. If that bush wasn't there, I'd have been off that mountain.
What a way to go.
I know. Crikey.
But it was all worth it.
All worth it. What was morale like? We spoke to her. I mean, Rachel explained at the beginning of the week what morale was like. We've been speaking to Chris. But as you were climbing up there, were more people more confident than others? Or was it kind of a big right, come on, gang?
I think you had your good and your bad days. I have to say, Chris was the one person that made me smile, made me laugh. And then obviously I had the girls, Cheryl and Kimberly, that at night in the tent we'd have a good old gossip and just huddle up together and keep each other warm. And then in the mess tent every night, the whole team would get together and everybody would talk. You know, Ben, Shepherd and Ronan were just like machines, you know. And, you know, I feel sorry for guys sometimes because they have to put on this front of being strong. But actually, all of the men showed their sensitive side, showed that they're human and had good and bad days as well, just like the girls. Mm. And bless Fern, you know, she had a really, really tough time. And, you know, one of the days she really inspired me to keep going when I was having a down day. And she'd been far worse than I had been. And I saw her carrying on and being strong. And
she's a trooper, isn't she?
She's a trooper. And you know, Gary, I've got to give him props for putting together a great, great team, because that was, when I look back, my only good memory of it was the people that I climbed with, because the actual climb itself was the hardest thing.
Gary says your laugh was audible from any part of the mountain for the whole 7 days that you were there, which again in terms of morale is a good thing.
There you go. That's a clip of your laugh.
From the mountain.
That was recorded. Yeah.
It's hot.
There you go. And we'll give you one of them as well. But I think collectively, it's a good job it didn't happen. But if someone had gone down with altitude sickness, which was a big thing that was brought up before you all went there, and whilst I was on the radio talking to you guys and talking to Chris, and we were doing the live link with Rachel and our boss Andy, I think if one person, even the people in behind the scenes, had gone down, it wouldn't. You get a sense that it wouldn't have made it as joyful and as glorious as it was when you got to the top,
because
there'd have been a team member missing.
Absolutely. And I think that was the one thing that was so special, that everybody made it. You know, we kept being told, not everybody's going to make it. At least some of you are going to, you know, fall and blah, blah. And actually the fact that we all got there together was incredible. All the cameramen, they were incredible. Mm. You know, they're carrying all this heavy equipment, you know, and they're charging on in front of us. And it just made us look really stupid, really, because they were so strong. All the porters were incredible. It was just a fantastic team altogether.
Well, it was a job well done. And it's great to hear Chris and the gang in Uganda.
I know.
Relaying back the messages and the videos and all the pictures that we've seen of Uganda and the hard work that they're all doing. So well done to you, and congratulations to everyone. Rach.
Rachel was incredible. Incredible. She's so strong. She did it twice.
I know.
You did.
She's not told us that.
She did it twice.
It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Honestly, one and a half times.
Yeah. We'll say twice.
Okay, call it twice.
All right, twice. So we're going to quickly play To Love Again.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, by good self.
Didn't even come here for you to play my song, but knock yourself out.
We're going to play it. I'm a little bit selfish because Phoebe, she might be in school now, but she's probably on her way, and she loves this.
Oh, well, this is for Phoebe then, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we'll do Tedious Dave.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Strictly Come Dancing Chat.
Oh.
beautiful. Alicia Dixon's Love Again. She's in the studio. Enter! We'll play that for my little Phoebe because she loves that.
Will she be in school? Oh, she'll be just in school now.
Just in
she?
Now, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Let's get this underway. I get excited when I hear this music.
Do the claps.
Yeah, that's
it. In the studio, that's what we do.
And then I'd be offbeat.
That music still makes me tremble.
Oh, at this moment, like, if it's Saturday night, I'm hearing this music and I'm saying to myself, don't fall down the stairs. Don't fall down the stairs.
What, you or Tess?
No, me.
Oh, right.
I say it to myself, don't fall down the stairs. Just get to that little platform, put your leg up around Brucey, and then we're away. We're running. Just don't fall down the stairs.
Oh, see, I never worry about that. She's got that down. She's got that down to a T.
Well, it's live TV, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? And you never know. It's like, you know, when Bruno jumps up and down in his chair, I just know for a fact that one day someone sat behind is going to pull his chair out the way and he's going to be like, he's going to have gone. He'll be like, whoa!
You could do that on Saturday, Alicia.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, the price is
on
the final.
Special,
yes, Christmas special
or something.
Yes, Christmas special.
Put a cushion down.
I'll put a whoopee cushion
underneath.
That's
a good idea.
But he's unbelievable, isn't he?
Oh, I love him so much. He's just wonderful. Sorry.
He's changed his kilt this series, I think. He's gone a bit more technical, do you not think? Mm. He's gone a bit more aggressive.
He's just so extrovert. I love it, you know. With Bruno, it is what it is, you know. If it's not good, it's not good. And if he loves it, you certainly know about it.
Yeah, having
he's
him
not
at
shy,
one end,
is he?
And he's, and then Craig at the other.
Craig's become really nice this year.
Weird.
When he was a bit, he gave some kind of bit more harsh comments last week. We was like, we've missed that. We've missed you, Craig. Where have you been?
I did enjoy it when Bruce,
so sweet.
When he was really nasty to Joe Wood and Brendan walked off and then Bruce turned around to him and said, Craig, I'd have none of that.
Oh, I felt sorry for Craig then. The thing is, Craig's entitled to his opinion. He's allowed to say what he wasn't even being offensive.
Of course. No, but when Bruce told him off as well.
Yeah, but he really did get told off. And you can't, no one can argue back with Bruce.
Exactly.
You know, so it did put him in a bit of a compromising position there.
Exactly.
But I think he handled it very well.
Craig, I've done everything.
No, but you've gone a bit too far there.
A bit too far, my love. Marvellous. Marvellous. But it must be quite nice for you being on the other side of the dance floor.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sat there and you can soak it all up and enjoy it. Whereas I suppose when you're a competitor, were you the kind of dancer who, I mean, you were fantastic, you won it, but were you thinking of your steps when you were dancing on the dance floor? Like what was coming next? Or did it become like natural?
Depends on the dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the art is to try and enjoy it and to love it, even though you're thinking about what step's coming next. Mm. You've got to enjoy it. There's nothing worse than it looking clinical in somebody's face, even though they're doing all the steps, but you can see them actually thinking about it.
There's been a lot of that this series.
It distracts you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you really fall in love with it is when somebody's just getting carried away with the dance and you get carried away with them.
Yeah.
But it is nicer on the judging panel now to just watch, I have to say.
And I like the fact that you found a nice balance, nice balance, because from your experience of being on the show, there must be nothing worse than going up in front of the judges and being annihilated, knowing that if you're in next week, you've got to pick yourself up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you found a nice balance between technically, you know, analysing them, but also saying, look, you can be better.
Yes.
Like the way that you've dealt with Ali, I think has been perfect.
Oh,
you know, because she can do, I think she's got another 25% in her.
Yep.
You know,
everybody
and she's been
has.
Really good. Yeah.
I think that's the thing. You know, one of the things I never did when I was a contestant was take anything the judges said personally. If they criticised me, I would just turn that into constructive criticism
for the
and
best.
Think, how can I learn from this? Not take it personally and realise that they're there for a reason.
But some people might not be as strong as you are, you know, and when you get Craig and say, two words, would and... It's like, oh, Craig, they've got to get back in the dance studio,
you know, some people aren't naturally gifted dancers. So obviously, you know, no matter how many weeks they're in the competition, like Craig was a good example, Craig Kelly, he just never really, really got there. He tried, and you've got to admire a trier. But, you know, he wasn't a naturally gifted dancer. And now at this stage of the competition, quarterfinals, you know, this weekend, they've got to pull it out the bag. There's no excuses for bad dancing in the quarterfinals.
Oh!
It's big time now.
Love it.
Crack that whip. Love that,
but
Alicia.
But the good news is for any of them is that I was in the bottom two on the week of the quarterfinals. and I still made it. It's not all doom and gloom if you're in the bottom two.
Ricky Whittle.
To win?
He's in the bottom two, weren't he? At the weekend. He's got to pick himself up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he strong of character to get back on the dance floor?
Two dances this week.
Yeah, and that's difficult because you've got to split your time between both dances.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck indeed. And you know what? Right? What we should flag up as well is that Bruno and Len now are going to be firing on all cylinders because they're not flitting back.
Because the US show's finished, isn't it?
There's no jet lag.
You're not going to be able to let anything slip past those guys now because they'll be revved up, they'll be ready to rock and roll, and they'll both be firing on all
cylinders. Firing it up and away they go.
Do you know what? I could sit next to you. When next time I travel up to Manchester, I'm just going to leave my phone on loudspeaker and just put it to my ear and say, go on, Lise, just do some MCing and it'll help the journey.
You could MC the stations on route, you know. Stoke on Trent.
Yeah. Here we come, the crew.
Yeah. Stockport. Next stop. Piccadilly.
That's the best line. I love that.
Oh, it's this.
That would be good.
Enter. What was that all about?
Oh, we were having a laugh. Yeah, we were having a real laugh. Alicia, thank you very much for coming in.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and good luck with the rest of Strictly Come Dancing.
Thank you.
Have you decided what you're wearing on the final?
I haven't actually. I just take it week by week. You know what? I'm the worst for that. I'm the sort of person that goes to a red carpet event and the first thing someone says is, what you wearing? And I'm like, oh, I'm not quite sure. I just go with the flow. Whatever takes my fancy on Saturday.
That's what, when you see the E! Channel, you know, and you're watching the Oscars or the Grammys, and that's the first question.
Who are you wearing?
Clothes. I'm wearing clothes.
Yeah. I just want someone like Brad Pitt to turn around and go, I'm wearing a suit. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
By George.
Yeah. By George. I just thought of that as well. Yeah.
The next time someone says, who are you wearing? You say George and walk off. And let them make up their own mind.
Red carpet. Oscars. Hey, Brad.
It doesn't matter what I wear anyway, Vernon, because I'm behind the desk. So it's all about the hair.
The makeup.
You know, it's almost like, what are you doing with your hair this week? I still don't know, but that's more important. That's all you see.
Hey, Brad, what are you wearing?
And the lip colour, you know?
I'm wearing a European designer called Burton.
Two words, Burton. Yes.
Hey, well, Alicia, good luck with choosing your hair.
I'm going to exit now.
Big thanks to today's guest.
Thank you, Alicia.
Chris is in Uganda.